It's a pleasure to be here again, and I'd like to welcome all of you here and to those who are with us online this morning. Do you ever wonder if you're part of something bigger than yourself? Do you ever wonder, who am I and why am I here and where am I going? But before we dive into those questions, I'd like to make a disclaimer here, lest I be accused of plagiarism, because there's excerpts of this message from our very own Pastor Tim. And this title of this message was preached almost 2 years ago, right here at Bethlehem Covenant, when we began our generosity campaign. And it was several weeks into that campaign, we all know that what happened is that the pandemic hit. And we postponed the campaign for 2 weeks, and that turned into 2 years. And how quickly that has gone by. But we're here today confident that God wants us here at Bethlehem Covenant to move forward. So last week, in the first part of a message, a sermon series, we heard about the fact that we are called, that we have a calling, that we have a mission. And it's a mission of what we simply say as followers, making followers of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus sent his followers out with one mission, and that mission was to go out and make disciples of all nations. And when we do that, it leads to that fulfillment of our vision for this church, which is to be a life-filled, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. That's a Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. That's our vision. So now every Sunday and Wednesday, we have new friends, we have neighbors, we have co-workers, and we have family members who are coming to BCC to experience that embrace of the church. And while we're here, we experience that hope in God's word. We experience the healing in Jesus' name, and we find our life's purposes in the power of the Spirit. Now that's good news. As I mentioned earlier, last week we started something probably pretty uncommon in this area. We began a 5-week Greater Things to Come campaign. And if you're new with us today or you weren't here last week, you might be asking, well, what is this Greater Things? And a Greater Things is our commitment here to extend our reach of the good news even further than we ever have before. We believe the Holy Spirit wants His church to grow, His church to grow. Because the church is that outpost in this world that extends the good news to every generation. And we are committed to that vision by making followers who make followers, who make followers of Jesus. Now it's interesting to note here that even though it seemed like the pause button had been pushed on our church and everything was shut down during the pandemic, and even our campaign, God continued to bless us and honor that commitment that we made years ago with greater things happening. In the past 2 years, we've seen ministries birthed. We've seen the Abilities Ministry birthed. We've seen Safe Families Ministry in our community come to fruition. We've been able to begin an online platform that is reaching who knows. And then also we've seen finances come in seemingly out of nowhere to the point where we were able to give it away, to pay it forward, to bless other ministries. God was continually at work, even though we felt like the uncertainty of it all. But your leadership believes now is the time, and now is the time to continue to extend our reach in a way that we're doing it and that God is blessing. We need to extend our space. We need more room. We need to have the room to equip believers and followers so that we can share the good news. So that means we're getting ready for an incredibly large step of faith, probably unseen in this church, probably since this whole building was built. And we know it's going to be costly, and we know it's going to require sacrifices. And it's a God-sized vision. We're looking at $300,000 right now at this point for an addition and renovation of our existing space. But we all know that it's very at a critical moment right now, and God is in work in ways that are unthinkable 10 years ago, even 2 years ago. We look back today, and some of that stuff seems seemingly unimaginable. Who could have imagined? Yet we're experiencing that growth. But you know, far more important than the building are the lives that are changed. The lost are being found, the hurt are being helped, and the left out are welcomed in. And the lonely are finding the presence of Jesus in this body of Christ. Now that's good news. That is good news. So on February 27th, we all have this incredible opportunity to come together in this one huge celebration and be part of something so much bigger than ourselves. On that day, we're going to commit to taking this message even further than we ever have before. And we're going to make a 3-year financial commitment and bring our first offerings to this Greater Things to Come campaign to extend our reach. So here's what I'm asking you to do. In the coming weeks, please attend those living room events, those vision events that are coming in February here. Be informed, ask questions about this whole Greater Things to Come campaign. We want you to be a part of it. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on being part of something bigger than yourself. Because we believe now is the time. It's the time to reach kids, youth, and adults in our region with that transforming good news of Jesus Christ. So last week we launched with prayer, and this week we have this amazing, it's a 29-day prayer journal that we're going to start praying through. This devotion, it was written by our church people, you within our church. It's for this church with specific prayers for each day. And we know that every great move of God begins with prayer, and so that's where we want to start. And your leadership has already been praying this through and seeking God. Now we're inviting you to be a part of that. So these devotional prayers are on the back. I believe they're in the back table. Are they not? Are they correct?
They've been mailed out.
Thank you. So you'll be getting one in the mail. But if you're a visitor with us and you don't have a mailbox, you're not mail, you can get one of these. Right, they're on the back table back there. So because we believe God works through prayer and we're acting on that belief as we pray daily. So why am I asking you to do that? Because I think there's something more valuable at stake here than your money. It's far more at stake than building a building. See, last week we handed out this week too as well. You should have got one of these. If you didn't, they're also in the back. And it's printed on the inside of this. It's a bookmark. It says, "Begin with prayer." But on this bookmark, there's places to write names, 3 to 5 names or more. And what I want you to do with that is to write names of friends, relatives, neighbors, coworkers. But these aren't just any friends. These are people you know who don't know Jesus yet, who are not walking with the Lord. And maybe they're far from God, and maybe they're searching. That's who we want you to put on here. These are the people that Jesus loves and he wants to save. But they still need to hear, and they need to respond to the good news, to believe God is real, and to put their trust in Jesus. See, Greater Things is about sacrificing something we love for something we love more. What we love most is what Jesus loves most. And Jesus loves our neighbors and our friends who don't know him. Greater Things is not about a building. It's about reaching people we can put on this prayer card these next 4 weeks, because there's so far much more to God than our money. So before you pray about the generosity campaign, pray for your friends. Fill out this card and pray for them like you never have before. And then, like I said, when we come on February 27th in this big celebration and we pack the house, we're going to bring those cards and our commitments, and we're going to lay them before the foot of the cross. We'll have a cross. We don't, We're in the midst of renovation, but we'll have a cross for you. I promise you that. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to pray for these people until that day, until they experience that life-saving relationship, or until they're called home to be with the Lord. And maybe that opportunity has then passed. So do you see what's at stake? Do you see what this is all about? We're committed to the greater things that are to come for people we all know around us who still need Jesus. So do you want to be a part of something bigger, bigger than yourself? What things can't you even imagine today that will happen tomorrow? And those are the greater things to come. What we could be part of that will impact lives long after we are gone. Something that we could be part of that is generational, that impacts lives for eternity. See, the Bible describes what God thinks about all this in his letter to Timothy. Paul wrote this, he said, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." Who does God want to save? Who does God want to reach? Everyone. Everyone. And how is he going to do it? Through the sharing, the preaching, and the teaching of the good news. So everything we talk about in the next 4 weeks, with greater things to come, it centers around that one very important message. And it's our message. And it's this. Jesus loves you. Jesus came to save you and me so that we can experience this new life for eternity by faith. That's our message. We have a big vision for what God wants to do. You know, and through that message, we are already drawing people from a 35-mile radius of BCC. And you know, within that 35-mile radius, there's over 9,000 people. And so we believe that it's really not out of the question that we could perhaps share that message with at least 10% with those people. And that's not to mention our online ministry that we already know, and we are connecting with people in Florida. You see, in the last 15 years, there's been at least 6 churches in this area that have closed. And I'm sure there's probably more. And there's multitudes who are struggling right now to keep their doors open. And who's going to reach these people then? Who's going to share this message when the churches are disappearing? We believe the church is called to do it. And who is the church? We are the church. That's right. We are the church. It's our vision to be a Christ-centered community, connecting all generations to Jesus. So as we pray like never before and commit to God's vision for this church, I believe the outcome will be an outpouring of God's grace, and we'll see many come to faith and perpetuating the followers, making followers of Jesus. And so what is the message we share when people come to Bethlehem Covenant? What is that message? What is it we share? And there's only one. And it's a matchless, timeless message. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's John 3:16, isn't it? 16 and 17. You know, it's the complexity of this whole word of God right here distilled into 2 verses. It's a message that is both simple and yet profound. It's a message that's filled with grace, but it has powerful conviction. It brings joy to the listener, but it brings a deep conviction, falling to our knees, asking for God's mercy. This is the good news we proclaim. This is our message. Every one of you has this message waiting. You know, I think we all kind of grieve over the loss that the pandemic brought. A lot of people left. And it's okay. It's okay to grieve. But I think some of us still long for that days when this church was just busting at the seams and the sanctuary was full. We had to go to two services. And we kind of ponder that question. What's the answer? To bring people back to Jesus. My dad, he had a fascination for a magicians. He liked that. The hand was quicker than the eye. And I can remember as a young boy, he had made up some props so I could do some of these magic tricks. And he really liked that stuff. But shortly before he passed away at the age of 93, we were making end-of-life decisions. And he lamented a little bit about that, at 93, all his friends were gone. And that there probably wouldn't be many people at his funeral. But in the same breath, he said, I think we should hire a magician for the funeral. He said, that'll bring the people in. Well, for the record, we didn't hire a magician for his funeral. And I can assure you that we're not going to hire a magician to bring people back here either. Rather, we're going to stay true to our calling. And that calling is to keep preaching the good news. See, our message, it's not fancy. It's not unique. It's the same over and over and over. It's the same message 2,000 years ago that the apostles shared as they were eyewitnesses to Jesus. The apostle Paul said, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. That is from Corinthians. And I've skipped over a page, so I'm going to work this in. Because this is good news. This is good news. See, the gospel means good news. And the world had been waiting for the coming of their Messiah. And when Jesus came, his first public message was, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. The good news, week in and week out. We do not have another message. As the Apostle Paul reminds his readers over and over, we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Well, what's our message? Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sin. So I'd like to turn to our text today, which was Pastor Tim read out of the book of Acts. And how many of you have ever begin reading a book and then you kind of wanted to know how it ended, so you went to the last chapter, read the book, and read the chapter at the end of the book. Anybody do that? Yeah, I know some of you. Some of you do it and don't admit it. Yeah, right, exactly. So that's kind of what I want to do here this morning is we take these verses, 42 through 47, and I want to read the very last verse and work it backwards. And it says this, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord is adding daily those that were being saved. Wow. So what's going on here? So we weave back through what was going on. They broke bread together. They shared in common things. They were believers and together. But what I want to do is go to the very top, to the very beginning, and Scripture is very clear about how it presents things of importance. And so the very first thing that this passage says was, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what were the apostles teaching? What Jesus taught them. What did Jesus teach them? The good news. So we can see the good news and the result of the good news. those that were being saved daily. So we've never stopped preaching that message, have we? Because we know the result. It's a matchless message. And we're not ashamed of it. We tell it again and again. Paul said in Romans, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You know, when we hear that, righteousness or righteous, we think of being made right with God. We see God sent his son Jesus to save the world and to make us right with God, and his righteousness is received by believing. The matchless message of Jesus crucified is the message we tell again and again and again, and every time, until everyone in our region hears it and has a chance to find life in Jesus' name. You want to be part of something bigger than yourself, something that lasts, something that changes people's lives, something that crosses generations to come and impacts those near you, even after you and I are long gone. Paul explains what that matchless message of Jesus is, and he says this: "For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it myself. No one can. No one's perfect. Our Heavenly Father is perfect. But apart from Jesus, I'm lost as anyone else, as lost as the worst sinner imaginable. And apart from Jesus, I can't be righteous. We can't be saved. But you know something? I believe the good news. I believe that although we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that yet while we were sinners and separated from God, Jesus died for you and me. Jesus took my sin and your sin and all our sin and died with it on the cross. And by that, freeing us from that grip of sin and death, and makes us right with God. He gave his life to purchase our freedom. I believe the good news. And many of you believe the good news. And that's what sets us free and makes us right. It's good news, isn't it? Somebody say good news. That's right. That's good news. Therefore, we don't wait with this message. We can't wait with this message. You know, the last book of the Bible says Jesus is knocking in Revelation. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." You know, I know many of you sense the urgency. We begin to read the signs of our times. The time is short. The time is now. The signs are pointing to the Lord's return, and he's coming soon. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, he says this: "Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." He's coming back. Now is our time, church. Now is the time. The apostle wrote this. He said, "This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I've been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth." I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. You see, we have a matchless message, and we tell the truth. So how do you and I tell it? How do we share it? It's simply like this: "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." So the greater things is all about this one matchless message, a message we need to share. But you know, before we can share it, we have to have it, don't we? And so as I begin to close, whether you're online with us today, whether you're in the sanctuary, I don't know where you are in life, but I do that many of you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Some of you have heard this message since your childhood, but for some reason it didn't quite take root. And today you feel something different. There's something different about it. And you feel the Spirit of God calling. Perhaps some of you, maybe it's the first time you've ever heard this message. And you say, well, God wouldn't want me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You know, some of you are right. I don't know you, but I know somebody that does. And God loves you. And he loves you too much to leave you where you are. So he's just simply asking you to come. He loves you right where you are. Simply asking you to believe in him. So in the quietness of your heart, just acknowledge him. Acknowledge him for who he is. And that because of our sin, we can't reach him. But he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. He made the way. He took all our sin. He died for you and me. Just simply acknowledge that, what God has done. And say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. With that, I'll leave you with this one parting thought. It's from John's Gospel. He said, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen.